take along these.
Let's pray before we begin. Lord, as we study this passage together, may we learn more of who you are and who we are in Christ. Amen. This is the second part of our series on David, whose victory over Goliath marks the beginning of his rise to the throne as Israel's king, his transformation from being a shepherd of flocks to being a leader of people. David and Goliath is one of the best known Old Testament Bible stories. Even those without a faith know about it. I remember as a child enjoying it alongside fairy tales like Jack and the Beanstalk. I couldn't tell the difference. In church, it is more likely to be heard in an all-age service or at Sunday school, so I'm so glad that we've got it today. Here's a little bit of background. The Israelites, God's chosen, they had asked for a king like those of the nations around them, like the Philistines. The Lord gave them Saul, but made it clear that his sovereignty reigns. In the previous chapter, chapter 16, which we looked at last week, we saw how, because of Saul's disloyalty, the Lord chose David to replace him, removed his spirit, and had David anointed. Now, just one or two points before we look at the passage. Saul knew someone was going to replace him as king, but he didn't know who. David knew the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him, and his family witnessed this in secret. But we are not told if he knew God's plan for him yet. And all the other characters in this story knew none of this. And also, just briefly to mention, there are theological debates over the last part of chapter 16 about whether David went into service for Saul before or after he slayed the battle with Goliath. But this doesn't really affect what we'll be talking about today, so I don't want to spend time on that. So that's the introduction. The Philistines were a threat. The Israelite troops had pushed them westward from the central hills towards Judea near the Philistine border. And here the battle enters a new phase. Verse 3 reads, "The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with a valley between them, and that was called Elah, which made it impossible for either side to carry out a surprise attack. They'd be seen. With battle lines drawn, the armies facing one another, Goliath steps forward, a warrior, fierce, dressed in heavy armour, with multiple weapons to hand," verses 4 to 7. And he challenges the ranks of Israel to choose a man to fight him in combat. This was probably a custom the Philistines had brought to settle battles, where the victor would claim victory for his side, and the loser would be taken, well, that army would be taken captive or slain. So the stakes here were high. Goliath shouts, verse 10, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel." And they run away. Even Saul, who was the tallest in their number, was no match for Goliath. This scene took place and was repeated morning and evening for 40 long days. Then David, a shepherd boy, arrives on the scene in the middle of running errands for his father, carrying a packed lunch for his brothers on the front line, sees what's going on, and volunteers himself, slays with a sling and five stones, slays Goliath and cuts off his head. Now, the message often told from this story is that we should be like David and imitate his bravery in facing the challenges, the Goliaths in our lives. Be it a person, a situation, an illness, ourselves. But by looking at the passage like this, puts us at the centre. It is not about us. What I mean is, Scripture in its entirety is all about God and his purposes, revealed through the lives of people in history. Eugene Peterson says this of our passage: "They are stories that reveal a world and existence in which God speaks and acts, chooses and loves, judges and saves." So this morning, I'd like us to look at today's story and see how we fit into that. Firstly, we are not like David. We are the Israelites, out of our depth, fearful, in need of a saviour. God gave them David, an unlikely champion. He came from them and faced the enemy on their behalf. Our champion is Jesus, who became one of us, defeated the greatest enemy known to mankind, death. And he did this for us. David. See how David reminds us of Jesus here, but with a massive difference between them. David was flawed. We'll take a closer look at that further on in the series. And Jesus was and is perfect. So our first point is, the Israelite troops needed a saviour and found one in David. For us, through the cross, the great victory was won. Secondly, I'd like us to look at this passage and explore the different ways things can be seen. In one corner stood Goliath, invincible, confident in himself, and the superiority of his equipment. He ticked all the boxes of what an A-class champion should look like. The Philistines, they would have believed him proof in the power of their gods. In the other corner was David. When he stepped forward, Eliab, his eldest brother, humiliates him, saying things like, verse 28, halfway down, "Why have you come here?" Further on, "I know how conceited you are." Saul says, verse 33, "But David, you're only a boy." Then tries dressing him up in his armour, verse 38. It would have looked ridiculous on his boyish frame. The Israelites so wanted a champion, but one who looked just like Goliath. We all have these pictures in our heads of what will work and what won't work in a situation. We so easily make judgments on the calibre of people, of whose face does and whose doesn't quite fit. Call it intuition or a gut feeling. Our default is to put our trust in our own wisdom, in ourselves. Then we either exclude or try to conform one another into moulds, like Saul did with David. But one size does not fit all. Every person in this story, apart from David, had one thing in common, and it's this. In that valley, they could only see what was visible, the Philistine threat. They thought horizontally. What I mean is they were completely taken in, conformed to the rhythms and the patterns of this world, of what we have been taught. But David, he was spirit-filled, immersed in God, a theocratic thinker, which just means he knew God was above and over everything. And saw the situation in that valley, from that reality, in that context. When Goliath shouted, "I defy the ranks of Israel," David says, verse 26 in the last sentence, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" This is the first time that God is mentioned in our passage. It was like as if the Israelites thought God irrelevant to the situation that they were in. David goes on, verse 45, halfway down. "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Further on, "The battle is the Lord's." David could see here in a way that others just could not. He thought vertically. He knew nothing was outside of or apart from God. How we understand that the power of the cross, our hope in Christ for the future, will impact on everything in our today. How we see things, how we think, the decisions that we make. The stuff that challenges us right now, it won't be just taken away, but we can learn through scripture, worship, and prayer to see those things from God's perspective. Jesus is our Amen. That situation, that illness, that concern, there is nothing outside of or apart from God. He gives us his spirit, so sit in his presence, a submerge yourself, join in with, go deeper and truly see his purposes for you and for me in the world. I'd like us to take a brief look at that. Have you ever felt the call of God upon your life to serve in some way and answered yes in prayer, only to find what follows is silence? You may have kept it to yourself, but that desire, it does not go away. If that is you, you may just identify with David in this bit. In chapter 16, he was called by God and filled with the Spirit, but then goes back to his day job, tending sheep and running errands for the family. Consider this. David, during this period, became skilled with the sling and the stone while protecting the sheep. Unknowingly to him, this was essential training for what lay ahead. Transferable skills which the Lord used to slay Goliath. Right now, you just might be exactly where he wants you. In that job, at home, caring for others, here at church, or in that difficult situation, that testing time. If you are willing and divine, then God is more than able to take all of that, the mundane, the good and the bad, our transferable skill sets, and use them for good, for his glory. He takes the ordinary and does extraordinary things, shows his power in our weakness, leaves no doubt that it is he who acts and who saves. Chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is how God works. David and Goliath, this story, it's a perfect example of this. His power to give victory against overwhelming odds. We're coming to the end now. Firstly, we looked at how in this story, we can identify with the Israelites in need of a saviour. They had David, a forerunner, and we have Jesus Christ. Secondly, we looked at how David, filled with the Spirit, could see the situation in that battlefield from God's perspective. Knew nothing was outside of or apart from the Lord. For us, we can go deeper in our faith as we read scripture, worship, and prayer. Holy Spirit is our help. And how we understand all of that, our hope in Christ, will impact on everything in our today, in our right now. Just now we looked at service and how God shows his power in our weakness. David had this amazing faith in the Lord. You may have a faith like his, or the faith the size of a mustard seed. That doesn't really matter. What matters is what or who you put your faith in. Creator God, the living Lord, is sovereign above and over all. So let us be still a moment before we pray. At times, we can unwittingly push God into the background of our lives, our situations. Yet he is faithful and waits, stands in the wings of our lives, willing you, willing me, to fix our eyes back on him. All the while, he is active, working out his purposes for your life and for mine. His words in Zephaniah chapter 3 are for us all. Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. Let us pray. Lord, may your words, your truths dwell within each one of us richly, today and every day. Amen.
Well, let's start.